preaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace. You join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon for a time of rightly dividing the word of truth.
Grateful you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. Want to let you know about a course I will be lecturing at in Canada at the Reformed Bible College in their winter courses on the Gospel of John. So if you have enjoyed what you've been hearing here and want to learn more about this gospel, we will study it together at the Aldergrove Canadian Reformed Church on beginning January 13 at 7:30 p.m. What else could you be doing on Thursday nights? Come out and let me get to know you, and would love to meet you and study this together. You'll have to register for the course. You can find out all the information for that course at rbcollege.com. Again, rbcollege.com, beginning January 13, 7:30. Well, let's again take up our study in John chapter 6, where we left off yesterday. They are frustrated with the teachings of Jesus. Jesus' teachings are hard. That wasn't really the best translation. It means unpleasant or intolerable. And then they say, who can hear it? We can't listen to this. Jesus' teachings were so intolerable and unpleasant to people, they didn't even want to hear it. Boy, is something backwards today then? If we are supposed to be stewards and we are supposed to be preaching and teaching like our master, delivering the message of the master, who is Jesus Christ, our king, don't you think there should be a relative amount of offense with these teachings? It doesn't offend anyone today, and the result is that you have a bunch of unchanged people. It's this kind of teaching that actually gets into the heart. It's this kind of teaching that actually probes the heart, draws you out, and forces you in one direction or another. And that's what happens in verse 60. When they heard his teachings, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood to live, they said, this is an intolerable teaching. Who can hear it? Jesus agrees with that. His teachings are spiritual words. And he says that in verse 63. The words that I speak to you are spirit. You see what he's saying? You don't have the ability. I'm speaking from heaven. I'm speaking spiritual words. I'm speaking in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. The natural man, 1 Corinthians 3, does not accept, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, nor can he know them because he is spiritually discerned. That's what Jesus is saying here. You can't comprehend my words. That's their complaint. We can't accept your words. I want to get into their minds a little bit where I left off yesterday. That what Jesus was saying was that he alone must become the purpose for their existence. They must live in him. They must drink him. They must be joined to him. Everything about life, they must get up in the morning. He is to be their strength, their passions, their pursuits. Now keep in mind, the Jews thought the way they were accepted by God was through rigorous keeping of laws. They had 600 commandments they had memorized, and then they had superimposed upon those commands all of their man-made rules and regulations. Jesus is saying, you can't come to me. You don't have the ability because I'm the only access by which you have access to the Father. I mean, he's going to say that in this book. So this just overturned their whole system of how they thought they were right with God. Jesus is striking at the heart of human want. I tried yesterday to give you a sense of this in the American context. Maybe it's similar in the Canadian context. What is the pursuit of people in life? Well, in our Declaration of Independence, it's the most famous statement that we have the right to the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness. That's the goal of every human being. If you were to put this in a sort of Jewish Declaration of Independence, I believe this is true of every human being who's ever lived, that he wants life, liberty, and happiness. I mean, that's why it's in ours. But if that were in the Jewish terms, and they had a Jewish Declaration of Independence, theirs would be life, liberty, and happiness through rigorous observance of the law. How does that translate in an American context? For us, well, no one would say it's rigorous keeping of the law. Our life, liberty, and happiness is what? Autonomy. Being our own entrepreneurs, hard working for what? A certain kind of lifestyle that has as its goal a time of retirement when I can finally do and pursue what I determine is going to bring me happiness, whatever my narcissistic or hedonistic wants determine. Imagine then that a bunch of Americans are standing there. Jesus Christ declares, unless you are completely filled with my life, unless the taste buds of your soul really digest me, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood and all these other satisfactions and pursuits take a back seat to me, you'll never live. You'll never have eternal life. There's no other way of real happiness. Can you imagine what the evening news would say about Jesus Christ? This is madness. Well, that's what they said. See, Jesus confronts us all wherever we are, whatever the want of our heart is apart from him. He confronts it. It's painful. And Jesus responds to this. When Jesus knew in himself, totally omniscient, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you? What if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before?" You say, oh no, here we go again. Jesus takes it up further. I mean, when Stephen said he saw the Lord Jesus seated high on his throne, standing up to receive him, he got stoned for saying that. Jesus is as offensive as he can be. The word is fascinating. Do my words literally cause you to stumble? If my saying that you must eat and drink me causes you to stumble, what if you saw me ascend to the cross, climaxing, and me entering right back into heaven, into my exaltation? What are you going to do then? And now we get to the totally intolerable statement made by Christ. It comes in verse 64. Jesus says, "There are some of you who do not believe." John interjects at this moment, telling us, Jesus had complete omniscience about this. We read, Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. Now, I want you to notice carefully what Jesus says in verse 65 after all of this. And he said, "Therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by the Father." That statement, dear radio listener, becomes the ultimate conclusion to this whole chapter. I don't find it to be a mere coincidence that that statement is the final straw. After this, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. You know what I believe? That teaching was so offensive, the absolutely most intolerable teaching of what Christ had said, everything he had said, that was the most intolerable. He had said it three times, by the way. No one can come to me unless the Father has granted it, unless the Father gives permission. You don't have the ability to know Christ or to accept Christ, to believe in Christ, to come to Christ, tasting and eating and enjoying him as the satisfaction of your life unless the Father has permitted it. Listen, when they heard that, they said, that's it. We're done. They drew back and they left the Savior of the world. That was the most intolerable teaching they had ever heard. Now put this all together. If my whole life must be satisfied in him in order for that to occur, I must be brought to him. And when that happens, I'm going to be taught by God. I'm going to have peace. I'm going to have joy. But I don't believe, dear radio listener, that this doctrine for a minute is easy for sinners to accept. We've come to know and love the teaching of election and predestination. You know why? Not because it's just empty determinism. I mean, people who explain it that way, they just don't get it. We come to know and love it because it makes salvation possible. Our human nature, our problem of the fall is that bad. We didn't just fall off the first story of our roofs. We fell off the Eiffel Tower. And when we hit the ground, we died. You're dead in trespasses and sins. No one dead gets up and comes to Christ. So this is the most wonderful teaching of assurance, because if I've come, I know I'm elect, and if this peace of Christ and this joy has been given to me, I've been taught by God. It's all of grace. I didn't do anything to deserve it. I never earned it. All of grace. Now that's contrasted here with the life of those who don't come, who can't come. They're shown to us as people who are miserable complainers, who want to fight, and who want to leave. But I'm saying right now, what Jesus says here, when he says in verse 65, therefore I've said to you, no one can come to me unless it's been granted to him by my Father, that is not easy to accept. Because what it means is that if my coming is by grace under the powerful sovereignty of God, that if coming equates with all of my life being given to Jesus Christ to delight in him, to taste him, that means that whatever happens after I've come, I have to view as also belonging to the sovereignty of God for my life. That it's chosen for me, whatever the circumstance, to better delight myself in Christ, I'm going to be tested with the doctrine of God's sovereignty. Because it means that everything that happens is under his sovereignty. That's easy for me, dear radio listener, when life is rosy. It's easy for me when things are great, life's going well, everyone's happy. There's a relative amount of outward peace in my life, and I'm full. But that teaching is not so easy to accept. That if I'm permitted to come to Christ, that the sickness that I'm facing may be used to teach me to better learn to satisfy myself in Christ. That's not easy to accept the sovereignty of God then. Why he has determined that sickness for me, to better glorify him. It's not so easy to accept the sovereignty of God when a loved one is taken without any rhyme or reason, and yet through it all, I'm still to completely rest myself satisfied in Christ's life. Not so easy when everything around me goes so wrong and I'm not sure how I'm going to go forward, or how there's any way through this present circumstance that I could ever bring glory to God. I don't see it in this circumstance. I'm really going to be tested with God, whether God is really sovereign. I'm really going to want to struggle to be satisfied in Christ. I'm going to be tested at the core as to whether I have come and still through it all found Christ to be sufficient. You see, when you put all this together, Jesus is declaring that he's the only one who can satisfy. There are many who will follow him for a time until they're pressed with what following under the powerful sovereignty of God means for someone. All of one's life becomes Christ. The life we live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for us. As we are brought by the Father, we are then set on a lifelong path of learning through the mysterious providences of the sovereignty of God. We're learning, dear radio listener, how strong Christ is to hold us up and to keep us satisfied when all else around us gives away, even our bodies, even when we're physically struggling. The most comforting thing here is Christ is saying he will keep his sheep through it all to the end, and he will not lose one of them. All will be upheld to the end. Bounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church of Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. are the worship services on the Lord's Day. We would love to get to know you. Join us. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.